Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in the Nedarim Daf Chav Mitzvah Sem. We're going to be finishing the beautiful second parak, the Elu Mutarid. I'm very happy to announce that the young man who had burns, Reb Shimon Yaakov in Rachel Shira, is continuing to have a Fuhr Shlema and Baruch Hashem. His grafts have been successful so far, and he left the hospital yesterday. Mitzvah Hashem, thank you for all that have been asking how he's doing. Mitzvah Hashem, he should have a continued Fuhr Shlema from HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, we'll begin the new Mishnah on the top of Chof Omer Aleph. The Mishnah is a continuation of the previous Mishnah, as I pointed out then, and we'll see in the Ran right now. The Ran, by the way, for the beginning part of today's year, is found on Yud Ches Omer Beis, and the Ran says that Hashta Mefarish V'Ozil Ketzad Perushin L'Hokya. This will now be really the explanation of the second part of the Mishnah that we had on Yud Ches Omer Beis, and that was we had said that Stam Nedarim are L'Hachmir. However, we said, when you explain them, if the person afterwards says, this is what I meant, we can go lahokil, as we'll see in today's share, even if it's somewhat of a ridiculous explanation, it's really unlikely that that's what he meant. But if he says that's what he meant, so then we believe him. So, we start the Mishnah, nodar b'cheirim. If a person says, this kikar, this item in front of me, should be like a cheirim. Now, if he then subsequently says, the amar, Lo nadarti ela becheramo shoyam. I was only referring over here that this kikar or this item in front of me should be like the net of the sea. Cheramo shoyam, you can see in the Rosh, he brings down a pasuk from Koheles, they'll see asher hi mitsudim v'charamim. So a cherim is like a net from the sea. You see this in Tosos as well. People bring down a pasuk from Yecheskel, the top Tosos, who says, Loshon Mitsuda, this is a language, the cherim, that can mean a trap or a net. Loshon Mishateach Charomim tia besoch hayam. So it brings out a pasuk Yeches, we have a pasuk in Koheles. So that's what the word cherim, this person says he means. He meant not that it should be a cherim of being dedicated or sanctified to Tibetic abayis, but he's saying, no, this should be like a net. In other words, it should be nothing. It should be not us or to me in any way. So then we believe him. This is an example where if a person says something, even though it's quite unlikely that that's what he meant, but if that's what he says, that's what he meant. And that's what the Ran points out. Again, Ran on Daf Yud Ches Omer Beis and the Ramaskul Nor the Becher. He says, V'hai denokat lo bahani gadni. Why did the first example of Mishnah pick the yam? The next example is going to pick something that's also not likely. The third and fourth example of Mishnah is going to pick or something not likely, as opposed to, why didn't you just say, if he said, I meant the cherim, he said, I meant the cherim for Kohanim, as opposed to the cherim of Bedek Habayis, so then we believe him. Why did it go off on those this crazy type of an explanation? So that's exactly it, the Ran says. He says, he gave these examples, Bahani Gabni, the Mefarsh Razal, as the Mishnah explains, Ulo Nokit Lu Bahani Gabni, the Reisha. He doesn't just give the simple explanation that would have wanted to say from the Reisha of the Mishnah on Daf Yuches Amibayis. Instead, he picks these. Why? So he says, he's making this afal pi shumafarish nidro bedovar zar, even if it's a strange and unlikely explanation, she'eno kolkach b'mashmos lishono, it certainly didn't sound like that's what he was talking about when he says kichermo means kichermo shoyam and not kichermo shobedek abayis kichermo hakohanim. Nevertheless, that's the whole chiddush over here to teach us that even when he says something that is so unusual, it is believed. If that's what he says, that's what I meant. We continue with the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if the burden says this kikor, the side in front of me should be kikarban. So, the carbon. If he says it should be like a carbon, so normally that would mean, the stam would be, that we certainly think that he means a regular carbon, and it would be a dover hanodar, and it would be aser. But if he subsequently explains, that's not what I meant, and he says, the omar, lo nadarti ela bikorbano shemalachim, I meant it should be like a matana that you give to a king. So, a matana that you give to a king is not something that would be aser. So, in this situation as well, we believe him, and the item in front of him is not also like a carbon. Another case, if he says, Hare atzmi carbon, I make myself into a carbon. In other words, he's asking himself on the other person. So in this situation, the stam position would be that the other person wouldn't be able to get hanor from him. However, if he subsequently explains that that's not what he meant, and he says, Omar, lo nadarti ela ba'etzem she'inachti li lios no debo, he says, no, I have a bone. Tosus over here says that this is echad shobehema, etzem shobehema, etzem echad shobehema that he has, she'inachti b'tevosi, that I left in some sort of a chest in my house, lios no debo, and I use this as an item to go and make in the darm by, so people think that I mean myself, but I really am tricking them. Lehatos ha'olam, lahamin devarai. I swear by this bone my bones, but he's not swearing by his bones. He's swearing by this bone that he has in the house from an animal. So you solve him. Can he know the ned to gomer? And people think, oh, he's really making a ned over here. We've got to take him seriously. He really is telling us the truth, and he's really trying to trick us over here. So if he says that's what he did, so lo nadati ela be'etzim shinati li lios noder bo, I bedavka have this like bone in my house that I keep there to trick people, so we believe him, and he's not us to the other person. And the final example that the Mishnah gives is a person says, koneim ishti nanisli. A man says, I asked my wife to get any hanoah for me. And then he subsequently explains, I'm talking about my current wife. Yomar, he says, no, I was talking about my divorced wife. I'm talking about the woman that I used to be married with, who I don't like. I divorced her. And she's asked to get hanoah for me. Oh, my current wife, I love very much. Of course, she's permitted to get hanoah for me. So in all of these cases, I'll cool on. Ein nishalom lehem. Mishnah tells us that you don't need to go and ask a shayla for hataras the darm. In other words, they're all null and void on their own. His own explanation makes them null and void. And if in fact, v'im nishalu, if he went to ask a shayla on them, in other words, he went to ask hataras the darm on them, so then the Mishnah explains, on shino son, we punish him. The Gemara will explain what this means. And we treat him in a very machmir fashion. Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that is what we do. And the Gemara will start off and explain what this means momentarily, so I'll wait till we get to the Gemara. And also, it seems like there's a steer over here. First it says, Ein Nishalom Hem. Then it says, V'im Nishalu. Then we do, Onshin U'machmirunah. So the Gemara will ask, there seems to be a steer over here. It's mutually contradictory. You say you don't have to ask, but if you did ask, so we'll explain what that means in a moment as well. The Gemara will start off with that question. Finally, that was the opinion of Meir. Chacham disagree. Chacham omrim post in lahan pesach b'mimokum acher. The Chachamim say no. You have to go and be matir neder for them, but you can't do it from this specific setup that they did. You have to go and find another pesach. And the Ran back on Yuchesu Mebez in Dibra Masko post in pesach b'mimokum acher says b'tarti b'ligi. The Chacham are arguing on two things. On Rabbi Meir, one chodah the ain own shino son im avru on the dirt. We don't go and punish the person if he went and was over on his nether. Number two, the oud shaposin lahem the charata that we can use simple charata. Oh, if I'd known this, I never would have made the nether. Regret on making the nether. That's adequate to go and be mat to the nether. Tomorrow we'll explain this more in a moment, so we will understand this better then. Then finally, the Ran concludes, and he says that what we call this mimokum acher, we call it mimokum acher, mishum de lo have you migufo shel neder pesach. It's not an intrinsic part of the nether. You're doing it, so to say, from an external, an extrinsic aspect of the nether that you're finding hataras nedarim biting a pesach to be mat to the nether. And the Gemara will explain this more in a moment. So let's start off with the Gemara now. Ha gufa kasha. We first have what seems to be mutually contradictory statements in the Mishnah. We start off by saying, Amart, you said, Ein nishalin lohen. You said that we don't go and allow, according to Rav Meir, to go and be shoel on this nether. In other words, you don't have to go and be shoel on the nether. But then, v'adu tani, you said, im nishalu, if they did go and be shoel on the nether, and they went to try to do hataras the darim, so then, on shino son, u'machmir alein. We punish them, and we're machmir on them. So what's going on? Do you or do you not need to do hataras the darim? So the Amor Rav Yehuda explains the Tana Rav Meir as follows. Amor Rav Yehuda, Hachi Tani, this is what Rav Meir in the Mishnah is teaching us. He says, V'chulon ein tzrichim she'ela, that under normal circumstances, ein nishalom lehem, alkulon ein nishalom lehem, that's referring to b'medvar mamurim, b'talmid chacham. That's dealing with a Talmud chacham. A Talmud chacham understands what's going on over here. We believe him when he said, that's really what I meant. And therefore, even though it's somewhat far-fetched, even though it's somewhat unlikely, if the Talmud chacham says, that's what I meant, of course, we believe him. However, then when we said, v'im nishalu, that's talking about avo be'ama aretz shaboli shal, if the am aretz comes to tell us, well, this is what I meant in my neder, we don't believe him, and we make him get hataras nedarim. We must do something additional to him, and not just say the neder just falls off like it would by a talmud chacham. On shino so u'machmir alav, and we go and punish him, and we're machmir on him. Now, why by am haaretz don't we believe him? So the Rush in Dibra Maschel, on shino so u'machmir alav, tells us the lo mehem ninan le, we don't believe the am haaretz shekach yisar kavanoso, that this is what he meant when he said cherim. He meant, oh, the cherim shoyam. Talmud Chacham we believe, but the Amarets we don't believe. Because the Eino Baki Bitoris Nedarim, because the Am Haaretz doesn't really know the Din of Nedarim. The Talmud Chacham does, and he knows that if he didn't mean that, then his nether takes effect, even though he may be able to fool us, but he knows that his nether really took effect, that that's not what he meant, and therefore he must be telling us the truth. However, by the Am Haaretz, we're concerned, the Yorei, Shemal Yuchal Limtso Pesach, Shiatu Lo HaChacham, the Am Haaretz is afraid over here, listen, they're not going to find the Pesach for me, and therefore I better just say, Ulkach Mishakir, I'll lie and say I meant Chayim Shoyam, because there is no Pesach of me if I tell him something different. So therefore, by the Am Haaretz, we're concerned that he's going to be Mishakir, the Rosh says. Whereas by the Talmud Chacham, we don't have that same concern. And therefore, On Shinoso Umachmirin Olov. Now, what exactly does On Shinoso Umachmirin Olov mean? So the Gemara says, Bishlom Machmirim, we understand what the Mishnah means when it says that we're Machmir on him. That means, Lo Paschino Le Becharata. Ah, that's exactly what we said in the Ran a minute ago. Tarti Pligi, the two things. That the Chachamim don't allow you to use Stam Charata. Oh, if only I'd known the problems that I now have, I regret making the nether. Ah, Mutulach, Mutulach, Mutulach. That would be called Charata. So when we're Machmir on him, it means that we don't allow Charata, that we require him to have a real Pesach mimokom acher. So that's what machmirim means. Oh, very good. We understand what machmirim means. Lo paschim lebe charata. We don't allow to use simple charata as a Pesach for the nether, as a valid way to do Hataras Nedarim. However, elo onshino so hechidam. What does it mean? We punish him. What do we do exactly to this person? Elo onshino so. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, onshin means what it says in the Brisa. Hiditanya, we learn the Brisa. Mishin nozar. If a person made a nether of Nazirus, the Avar al Naziruso, and then he went and he drank wine. So Ein Niskakin Lo. So now he wants to do Hataras Nedarim to retroactively uproot that nether of Nazirus, so he's not over the Nazirus by drinking wine. So Ad Shinog Bo Isser Kayamim Shinog Bohem Heter. So we don't go and deal with him. We punish him by not allowing him to have Hataras Nedarim yet. And we say, okay, you drank wine for 3 days in a row, so don't drink wine for 3 more days, and then we'll revisit your Hataras Nedarim. So in this situation, that is the punishment that we give him, that we make him make up for what he transgressed his nether, and only subsequent to that will we uproot the nether. That's what Yehuda's Ashita. Amar Yosef, Yosef says, he qualifies this further. He says, "Benizirus muetes." When do we say like Rabbi Yehuda that we make him do kayam shenogem heter? We make him do iser. Actually, no, but iser kayam shenogem heter. So he drank wine for 3 days. So we make him go and not drink wine for 3 days before we'll go and be poseach on this neder. So Rav Yossi says that's only benizirus muetes. That's when it's a short case of nizirus. In other words, it is stam nizirus of shloshim yom. Avo Benizirus Meruba. The person said, I'm going to be a Nazir for 100 days, and he drinks wine the entire 100 days, so Dayo Shloshim Yom. Then we don't make him make up 100 days, but we're satisfied as he makes up the minimum Nazirus of 30 days. Rav Yossi says that would be adequate punishment for the guy to make him go, Achinogu Be'isr, Kayom Shinogu Be'mheter, not the full 100 days, just the Stam Nazirus of 30 days. Where it seems that the opinion of Rav Yehuda would be that you would require even the full 100 days, quid pro quo. You transgressed your nether for 100 days. We're not letting you get off scot-free. We're going to make you observe the nether for 100 days, and only then will we uproot it, so you're not transgressing your nether by having drunk wine as a nazir. Okay. Am Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, the Amori says, Hoel, the Amri Rabbanon, Ein Niskakim Lo, Beidina, the Mizdakike, Lo Ovid Shapir. Since the Chacham Shita is that we shouldn't get involved with such a person until he goes and is knowing Isser, Kiyom, Mishinog, Rem Heter. So then, if the Beis Din does Matir Neder for this person before he does that, so then the Beis Din didn't act properly. Lo Ovid Shapir. So this Beis Din, the Mizdakike, this Beis Din that got involved in this guy before he was knowing Isser, Kiyom, Mishinog, Rem Heter, is doing something improper. So much so, the Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, Misham Tinam Le, we would go and put the Rabbanim of that Beis Din into Shamta for going against the will of the Chachamim, as explained by Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Yossi. The Ran adds over here in Dibur Maskil, Ho the Omer Rabbanim, and he says that Miu Imba, at the end of this Ran, Miu Imba Lishol Me Atzmo, if this person comes to the Beis Din, as opposed to the Beis Din goes to him. The Ran explains that when it uses the Lashon over here of the Mizdakike, Beis Din de Mizdakike means that the Beis Din went to him. But if he comes to the Beis Din and Bolu Shol Me'atzmo, then Niskokin Latiro, then the Beis Din is allowed to go be Matir's Neder, because the Lesa Ella Beidina de Mizdakikin Lo Ovichapir. It's only the Beis Din that went to him that we say acted improperly, and we put them into Shamta. But if he came to the Beis Din, then that's okay. And then the Ran says, Linin Halacha, we pass him over here, Kirabanan, the Masnisin, like the Chacham of Amishma, the Amri, the Nedarin Halalu, Ain Onshinoso. We don't go and punish the person, as Chacham said, Post Lahan, Pesach Mimokum Acher. However, the Ran says, Upaschinimbo, Nami Bicharata, but we do allow Charata even in this situation of Mimokum Acher. Uki the Prishna Masnisin, that's only with these types of nedarim or mishnah, which are mid rabbanon. Avul bin nedarim daraisa, he the baschinim behu, that we do allow nami becharata kidekaim alon beidoch pirkin, like we learned in the Gemara, and you can see in the Hagos and Siyunim, he brings down that this is from the Gemara that we have in Yitzchak coming up on Daf Chof Beis. So he says the hilchasa poskin becharata, we do allow charata. Nevertheless, miu misha avar alein ubal yishol. So we do paskin in that situation that we should make him go and observe the same number of days that he transgressed the Isser. He should observe them beheter before we go and give the person hatoras nedar. And in that situation, the Ran says, if a young Talmud Chacham, Tzuvim Rabbonim, Dimizdakik lay in that situation, Mikami Yochi, before he goes and observes days of Heter, just like the days of Issa that he served, so Mishamtinon lay, we do put such a Talmud Chacham in Shamta, Buadinami, Lamandalo Pasach lay, Bahani Nedarin Pesach Mimokum Acher. Likewise, if he doesn't use a Pesach Mimokum Acher, Elam Alamid also, Osan Shein Mutarin, and just tells them that they are mutter. The Meshantino Le, we put such a Talmud Chacham in Chayim, the Lo'ovit Shapir. And this is what the Ramban Zal explains. He then, however, gives a Maisa Shoye, brings them from Tosos, Chachmei HaTzurfati, that they said, Maisa Be'echad should not be called perishable. A man made a nether, he's not going to have any and all from any fruits of the world, chutz be dog except for grain. The Avar Nidro, and not surprisingly, he broke his nether. And now, Uboli Sholuf Neharav, and he went to go ask Hataras Nedarim from the Rav, because he was eating fruits. V'nizkach lo li'alter, and he was matir the neder immediately, v'tiru, v'lo his kiku linog iser kayom mishnog bem heter. And he didn't make him wait. Let's say he ate fruits for 10 days. He didn't make him go 10 days without eating fruits before he was matir the neder. He was matir the neder right away. How come? It seems to go against this. So he says, v'tayna sarav, why did the rab do that? He always says follows. The afal gav did not draw deraisa, even though that was a full-fledged neder deraisa, hava. V'afilu l'rabbanon sarav shinog iser. And even the Rabban in that situation agree with the way we explained the Ramban, according to the Ran, that even the Chacham would say that you have to go and be noeg the same number of days that you were over the nether, you have to be mekayim them before we'll be mata nether. Afilu hachi, kivan, shim ato ma'akvo bi'isuro, if we don't address his hataras nedarim right away. So, ato machshilo, you're going to cause this guy to transgress further. Shahari noda bedover she'ev shalo la'morulah, because it's impossible for him not to have any fruits for a significant period of time. Vote, and furthermore, Shimlo, Yenem, Peres Olam, and if in fact he were to try not to get Hanof in Peres Olam, Yosu Kochami Olam, he's going to become very weak. He won't be able to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, he'll be in bed all day, not feeling well. And therefore, this Talmud Chacham, Lekach Niskach Lo Miyad, he was mounted the nether immediately. But he did one chumra. Ah, hichmer love, he was machmer in this situation, kivin shavar al nidro, since this person inappropriately made this nether and was over it, shelo latiru b'charata. He didn't use the Pesach of charata, ela b'pesach. He required a real Pesach, mimakom acher. Okay, let's go right now back to the Gemara, where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, v'chachamim omrim, poslo pesach v'chule. Now, I'm not 100% sure I read the end part of the Mishnah. I realize now it doesn't sound familiar to me. So, v'chachamim poslo pesach v'mokum acher, u'melandinoso, and we also teach this, as we explain this, is talking about an Am Haaretz, u'melandinoson, k'dei shelo yinagu kalus rosh b'nedarim, that we shouldn't go and have them treat nedarim in a haphazard, lighthearted fashion and not be severely constrained in making nedarim. If they say, big deal, I'll just, get rid of it if I make it, so they won't be careful in nedarim. And Chum wanted to make sure the Amoratsu were very careful in nedarim. So, we start off and say, Tana, we learned in the following braisa, Li'olam alti rogil bin nedarim, a person should not make nedarim on a regular basis. Remember, we had earlier in the Masechta, in the first parak, we had the idea from Kohelis that it's better for a person not to make nedarim than to make nedarim and fulfill them, because there's always the chance that you won't fulfill it. So, better not to make nedarim at all. Don't become rogel in making nedarim, even those nedarim that maybe are good to spur a person to do a mitzvah, because shesovcha limol bishvuos, because you're going to end up transgressing shvuos. Now, why doesn't it say that you'll end up transgressing nedarim? It's because, as we pointed out from the Aseret Dibros, by shvuos it says lo yinaket. We had this the other day, that it's shvuos are stricter than nedarim. So if you go and make nedarim on a regular basis, not only will you eventually be over your nedarim, but you'll also be over shvuos. Furthermore, the Brisa says, "Va'alti rogil etzel amaretz." Don't be around amaratzim, because shesovcho lahachil chotvon. Because the amaratzim were not medaktik. Many of them were, but some were not medaktik in taking off trumas and maisos. So if you hang out with the amaratzim, it's only a matter of time before you're going to get tevo. They're going to think that they took off trumas and maisos, or they're going to not take off trumas and maisos at all and say that they did, and you're going to end up eating tevo, which is a very strong isser. It's an isser, if you eat tevo, of misa v'dei shamayim. So therefore, don't hang around with the amaratzim, because you end up eating tevo by hanging out with them. And this is true, even if you're a kohen, alti rogel etzel kohen amaretz. Even if you're a kohen and you go to the kohen amaretz, so you'll think that when he's giving you truma, that it's good, valid truma, because shesovcho la'achilo truma, because he's going to give you truma that is either going to be tmeya, and some even have the gears over here, shesovcho la'achilo truma tmeya, because he's not careful with truma and tara, or he's going to give you, when you're not prepared for it, he's going to give you truma, and you're in a tamei state, you're not allowed to eat it, and it's going to be a problem. So even if you're a Kohen, don't hang out with him. And certainly if you're not a Kohen, don't hang out with a Kohen Amaretz, because he's going to give you truma. The Altar Besicha Me'isha, one shouldn't go and have excessive conversations with women, because that's going to lead to problems. Shesov Cholavu Lidei Niyaf, it's going to lead, Rachmanu Litzlan, to going and doing acts of immorality. So therefore, a person should be very careful not to speak excessively with women. Now, we all know the famous statement from Pirkei Avos, which says, Altar Besicha Me'isha, and we say, it's even talking about your wife. So the Yavis discusses this, and he says that if you have excessive conversations with the wife, when, for example, she's a Nida, that could lead to, unfortunately, transgressing the Isser of Nida, or it could lead to having a Shalokidarka, be a Shalokidarka, which is somewhat problematic, or it could lead to just the Hotzah Zera, Shichva Zera Levatala. It's going to lead to inappropriate discharge of Zera if you're not allowed to have relations with your wife and you get excited. So therefore, that's why you shouldn't be Marbe Sicha and Ma'isha, even your own wife, if she is in the days of Nida. Okay. Now, Rav Acha, Rav Yoshai Omar, Rav Acha, Rav Yoshai said, "Call it sofa benoshim." If a person looks at women, sofa boli de avera, it's going to lead to an avera. Now, of course, you're not allowed to look at women. So, what is this talking about? So, the Mefarshim explained, it's talking about somebody who is sofa benoshim. He's constantly looking at women. So that, of course, is going to lead to a problem. A person's going on the subway, and he has to open the door and look at the women that are coming out of the subway before he can enter to let them off. So that's not what he's referring to over here. But he's talking about somebody who's constantly looking at women. Call it sofa benoshim. Sofa boladeh there. If you're constantly looking at women, it's going to lead, unfortunately, to immorality. Likewise, even if you look at the heel of a woman, which is an area that's normally covered up, and therefore you shouldn't be looking at it, so that's going to lead to you having improper children. Tosu says this is mida keneged mida. As you can see in Dibur HaMaskil, Habilon Bonim Sheinu Huganim, he says, Mida Keneged Mida, Lefi Shemistako Ba'akeva Shalisha, Shezeu Inyon Ha'erva. So, as we'll see in a moment, some suggest that this is not only something that's normally covered up, but this is referring to the erva of a woman. If you look inappropriately at a woman, so then, Lekach, Habilon Bonim Sheinu Huganim, you're going to have children that aren't proper because you did something that wasn't proper, so you're going to have children that aren't proper. Habilon Bonim Sheinon Mehuganim. Some also point out that over here, the word mistakel means to take a real good look. So, hola mistakel, you're taking a look over here, bedavka, to get hanoah, so that's going to lead to having inappropriate bad children. Gemara continues and says, Amar of Yosef, ubi'ishto nida. This is referring to, over here, even if your wife is the wife, the woman that you're looking at, but she's a nida, because as we pointed out, it could lead to all sorts of problems, because it's also for you to have relations with her. And that's what the Ran says, in Dibur HaMaskil, ishto nida, afilu ishto nida, sheyesh lo ba shas heter, because she will have a shas heter, and nevertheless, you shouldn't be looking at her in this way when it isn't a shas heter. Okay. Gemara says, Amar Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish says, akeva diktani, that which we said over here, and this was really the way the Tosos looked at it before, when we're talking about our akeva, we're not talking about her heel. The akeva is a euphemism, a nice word that we use over here, diktani b'mokom atinofis. It's talking about her genital area. And the heel is directly below the genital area. So it was using the lashon of the heel, and it was referring to the genital area. So therefore, if somebody looks at that area in one's wife, even when it's permitted to have relations with the wife, so one shouldn't stare and look at that area of osa mokom shumuchuvan kinegra ekev, the area that is opposite the Akev, it's inappropriate to look at that area. And if you do, you'll have children that aren't of sterling character. Tanya, we'll learn another braisa. It says, Bavur tiyeh yirasu apnechem. The pasuk is actually U Bavur tiyeh yirasu apnechem. We just didn't bring in our Gemara the Vav, but the pasuk starts off, Vayom Moshe Elohom al tiro ki levavur nasos eschem bo helokim. U Bavur tiyeh yirasu apnechem. So the pasuk tells us that you should have the awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your faces. So this means, this is a reference over here to busha, zubusha. A person should always be embarrassed if he does something wrong. We're known, Klal Yisrael is known as Baishanim, that we're embarrassed when we do something wrong, right? There are people out there in the world that are in your face, I'm going to do this, this Aveira, I'm proud of it, right? Pride in an Aveira is not a Jewish idea. We are Mavayish, we're embarrassed when we do an Aveira. Sometimes we can't control our desires, and we do an Aveira. It's very difficult sometimes. A person can't control his desires, and he does an Aveira. But he shouldn't be ever proud of it. To be proud of an Aveira is an anti-Jewish sentiment. And therefore, the Pasuk says, "Bavur tiyeh yirasu apneichem." You should always have the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your faces. This is a reference that you should be Mavayish. You should have busha if you do a sin. The Ran says, why Alpenechem? So the Ran says, in the Ramaschum, Lamed, he says, the Alpenechem is mashma boshes pomim, means that it's visible on your face, that you can see if a person's embarrassed, his face turns red. Uksiv basre, levilti tsechato, and that will prevent you from sinning. If a person's always worried about being embarrassed by doing an aveira, sin, that will prevent him from doing sin. Levilti tsechato, the next words in the pasuk that we read, Malami Shabusha Mavili the Yirashait. Because the person's embarrassed, is everyone going to hear about that I did this Aveira, and I'm going to be a terrible busha from this, so that will prevent the person from doing the sin. So it'll lead to Yirashait. And from here, Mikan Amru, Chazal said, Simin Yofa Ba'adam Shu Baishan. It's a very good thing for a person to be a Baishan, to be embarrassed by doing things that are incorrect. Others say, Achayim Amrim, that's usually a reference to Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, if somebody is embarrassed, that person will be much slower to sin because he realizes the consequences of his act is going to cause him terrible busha. And that busha is a preventative measure for him to do the sin. And say, if somebody doesn't have boshes panim, that person, his forefathers certainly didn't stand at Har Sinai. He must be a ger. He must be somebody that really wasn't part of Klal Yisrael, because busha, again, one of the characteristics of Klal Yisrael is we are rachmanim, we are baishanim, and gomli chasadim. It's in our DNA. And if a person doesn't have those three characteristics, the Gemara elsewhere says you have to suspect, as it does over here, that the person really isn't Jewish. Lo amdu avosov al Har Sinai. Where do we get this idea from? So the Ran brings down, Lo Omdu Avosav al Har Sinai, Shari Nosan Tam Lamamad Maimad Har Sinai. There was a reason for Maimad Har Sinai, the Bavur Tiyeh Yirotso Apadechan, this Pasuk, that the reason you stood at Har Sinai was that you should have this Busha, you should have Yerushamayim. Eis Asher Yesh No Po Ayom, only the people that are here today. Eis Asher Ne No Po Ayom aren't having this. He must not have been there, and therefore isn't from the zera of the Jewish people. Okay, Mark continues, says, Amr Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi said, Arbo dvarim sochli malachei ashares. He said four things the malachei ashares told him. We'll see in a moment it doesn't really mean the malachei ashares, because then how could he be wrong? But it's talking about various talmidei chacham. In any event, four things I was taught by the malachei ashares. Number one, Chigrin, why do people never have children that are born lame? So mipnei ma havyan, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish a person, so to say, by having children that are born lame? Mipnei shehochem eshulchanim, because they turn over their table. What does this mean, turn over the table? So the Ran says, Libra Masr shehochem eshulchanim, lufi sheshina biyerech, loka biyerech, since he turned around and didn't have relations in the proper way, as the Mefari says over here, Ponim kineged oref. He has relations facing his wife's back. So shaboyim al neshoseim shlo kidarkan, that they had relations not in the normal way. So that's called hofchin esh shulchanam. Therefore, just like you so to say, didn't properly use her thighs, so therefore your children will be born with a lame thigh. And Tosa says the same thing. So since they're, so to say, inappropriately using the thighs, so ad b'neihem lokim b'yerichayim. Okay, so that's the first thing that he was taught. Your children are born, chas v'shalom, sometimes lame. Now again, nobody should ever take these gemaras literally and say, Nebuch, somebody was born with a child, it must be that he did this. So these are just ideas that the gemara is expressing and never can be applied bedafka in a specific situation. We need a Navi to tell us why something happens and we don't have that. Now, the next thing he said was, why are children born ill? Why are children sometimes born unable to speak? So he says, because they kiss. Osamokim. Osamokim is the erva area of a woman, the genital area of a woman, and that's considered a chutzbedik thing to do. And therefore, since you acted in a chutzbedik way, so therefore, your children that will be born from such a relationship will be plagued over here with being unable to speak. And you can see this in Tosos, the Ramaskim Menashim and Ashkim, he says, Ulkach Lokim Havlados Befiim. Since you kissed that area, so therefore the children are born with a blemish in their lips. In other words, they can't talk. Next thing that Rabbi Yochanan ben Levi learned from these Malachi Asharis, he says, Cherishim, why are children born Nebuch, unable to both speak and to hear? Mipnei Mahabin, why does that occur? So he writes, Mipnei Shemisapim Bishas Tashmish, they're talking during Tashmish. One shouldn't talk during Tashmish. Now, this will need to be explained because you are allowed, and in fact, they're even supposed to talk during Tashmish to make sure that your wife is happy and to make sure that you're giving her pleasure from Tashmish as opposed to that you're not allowed to talk at all because there's some Isser involved. No. So the Gemara will explain that it's talking about something external to Tashmish during that time. That's not the right time to talk about it. But we'll explain this more in a moment. But he says that the reason why children, Nebuch, can sometimes be born without being able to speak and without being able to hear is because the parents spoke during Tashmish. And again, Tosu says over here, Mida keneged Mida, Sheyesh lahem lishamish behatzneya, because they should have conducted themselves in a more tzniyistic fashion, they mashmim kolam, and therefore, since they raised their voices, so lekach nasim avlos b'chareshim, and therefore, the children won't have voices, and the children won't be able to hear, because the parents raised their voices inappropriately. Again, there are numerous questions on this Gemara. How can you punish the children because of the parents? So we're not going to get into that now, but basically we have to always understand that all the ways of the Torah are pleasant and they're all divine and that there's never ever a punishment that's given out that isn't deserved by the person who gets the punishment. Nobody's ever punished for something that they didn't deserve or that there isn't a reason why. Why does Rahman al-San, any child, come into the world with any sort of a problem? Why does any child, Nebuch, not come into the world? Why is a child born miscarried? What did that poor child do? So obviously the plans of HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot be understood, and there is always a reason, and part of Emunah and Bitachon isn't that everything is always going to be well. Nebuch, sometimes it isn't well. Sometimes things don't occur the way we would like them to. But we always have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the ship. He's never asleep at the wheel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always doing everything for the best reasons for us. And it's always for a benefit for us. Gam zu l'tova. So that's the underpinnings of this entire sugya. And it can't be understood in a literal way, and it can't be understood as being in some way a punishment on a child that the child didn't deserve, and is only punished because of the parents. And finally, the last item, the fourth item, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Levi said he learned from the Malachi Asharis is as follows, and that is, Sumim mipnei mahavyan, why are children sometimes born in inability to see? Why are they born sometimes blind? So he says, mipnei shemistaklim b'osamokim, because the father looked at the osamokim of the mother, looked at the mokum erva, and that is inappropriate as well. And again, mida keneged mida, because he looked inappropriately, so therefore the child is born with the inability to see. More questions is, how could Rav Yochanan ben Levi have said this, Raminu? But we have the following brayse that it seems to say otherwise. Shalu es Ima Shalom, they asked Ima Shalom, who was Ima Shalom? So Ima Shalom was the wife of the great Tana, Rabbi Eliezer. As you can see in the Likutei Rashi that he brings down, her name was Ima Shalom. It's not the mother of Shalom. Ima Shalom was her name, Kach Shema, and she was the great wife of the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer. And she was the sister of Rabban Gamliel. In any event, Mipnei ma, they asked her, shalom usima shalom, mipnei ma, why? And we turn to chaf on the base. Mipnei ma, bonayich, your faith in Yosef, why are your children so beautiful? So Amru lahen, so she told the people that answered this question, because eini misaper imi, lo betchilas alayla, lo besof alayla. I don't speak with my husband. We don't speak together, and euphemism here for speaking is relations. The word misaper is a euphemism. So eino misaper imi, we don't speak, we don't have relations, lo betchilas alayla, lo besof alayla, at the beginning or at the end of the night, because people might be up and hear us. El b'chatzos alayla, we just, in the middle of the night, have relations. And ukishu misaper, and we do have relations, megala tefach u'mechasa tefach. Now this is a very difficult to understand statement, because the Zohar and other places tell us that the husband and wife should not be clothed when they're having relations. So some suggest, the Shita Mekubeses brings down, that this is talking about during the actual penetration, so he doesn't leave his wife until all the zera is gone. And that's what it means, Megala Tefach Mechasa Tefach, that he's inside of his wife the full time that he's giving off zera, and doesn't come out early, so there's no zera levatola. That's one way to understand this. Others explain, though, that when they're getting undressed, so they do it a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. That's what it means, Megala Tefach Mechasa Tefach. And others do explain it, that he was very, very acting in a tzniyah sticker fashion here, and with the permission of the wife, then one can have relations in only a partially undressed state. In any event, Gemara says that they acted in a very tzniyah sticker fashion, or in a very proper fashion of being Megala Tefach Mechasa Tefach, exactly what that means, as I explained. Vidoma love, and she said that my husband appears kamisha kafo shade, as if a shade was forcing him to do this, not that he did this on his own will. So she said to us, Vamarti lo, Matam, why are you acting in this way as if you don't want to do this? So Vyamali, she said, her husband said to her, Rabbi Lezer Hagadol said to her, that Kidei shlo etain es einai b'ishacher, so I shouldn't be thinking of another woman. I want to have relations with you as fast as possible so I can keep my mind focused just on you. If we have relations for a longer period of time, I may stray and think of another woman. And that would be almost on our level as if I had relations actually with another woman, if I was even thinking of another woman while I was having relations with you. So in order to put Gidarim around Gidarim, in order to make sure that he didn't have any improper thoughts, so he rushed having relations with her. Now, this is certainly not the normal Hanhaga, and again, I must point out that these are individuals that are in a different Madrega, but the normal halachically required Madrega is for a person to try to please his wife, and this should be something that should be done with great love, and with great attention, and with speaking, and without rushing things. So this is a unique situation. Now, why is this brought down over here? Because it says that they were mesaper during Chatzos HaLaila. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai said that you're not allowed to be mesaper during relations, and here they clearly were mesaper. So they use this euphemism specifically to say that they did talk. So one says, "Lo kasha," it's not a contradiction over here. Habimili detashmish, habimili achrini yaso. As I pointed out before, it depends what you're talking about. If they're talking about things that are inappropriate to be talking about at that point in time, they're not focusing on the great mitzvah of onas ishto, of fulfilling the obligation to have relations with your wife, so then it's inappropriate, and that's something that shouldn't be done. But if it's dealing with mili detashmi, so it's a mitzvah to make your wife happy, so then in that situation, that's absolutely acceptable. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Yochanan ben Davoy. That statement that we just made is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy. However, Avol Amru Chachamim, the Chachamim disagree, and they say, Ein Halacha ki Yochanan ben Davoy. The Halacha doesn't follow what Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoy said. Ella, the Halacha is, Kol Ma She'odem Rotze Lasos B'Ishto Osa. A husband and a wife, in the privacy of their home, are allowed to do anything that they wish, as long as it doesn't go against halacha, but there are no restrictions in terms of what a husband and wife are able to do in intimacy with each other, again, as long as both are willing to do so. Marshall, he says, the example is, Lebosar haba mibei satabach, when you go buy meat from the butcher store, so you can do with it what you would like in terms of eating it. If you wish to eat it quickly, so to say, with just salting it, so then you have the permission to do so. Tzali, if you want to roast it, which takes a little bit longer, ochlo, then you can eat it that way if you wish. Mevushal, if you want to cook it, which takes a little bit longer, ochlo. Shaluk, if you want to stew it, which takes even longer, ochlo. In other words, in comparison of the husband-wife relationship is to like different types of meat. If you wish, you can have it quickly or a little bit more slowly, a little bit more slowly, a little more slowly. Person has the right to do as they wish, again, as long as both parties are are in agreement. Rachman Lassan, you can't force a person to do something that they don't wish to do, and as long as it doesn't go against any of the halachas of intimacy and of Hotsa Zer Levatola, etc., etc. Likewise, he adds, V'chein dog, if you buy a fish, Habami Vesatzayid, that you go get it from the fisherman, so then a person is allowed to go and eat the fish again in any manner that he would like, the same thing like the bosses. So this is the analogy that they use for the husband-wife relationship. Amar Meima, Meima adds, and he says, who then were the Malachi Asharis that Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai was talking to? If it was really Malachim, so then how could we say that that's not the right thing? Man Malachi Asharis that Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai was referring to. So these were not actual Malachim, but they were Rabbanon. They were rabbis. And we don't hold like those rabbis. The Tamar, because if you're going to tell me it was really Malachi Asharis Mamish, it was really angels, so then my Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and Malachi Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai. So now would Rabbi Yochanan have the chutzpah, so to say that we don't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Davai? Because if Malachim told us this, Ha'inu b'kiei b'tzura savla tvei, they know exactly how a child is formed. Now, it's not that we say that we listen to Malachim. The halach is, we don't follow Malachim, we don't follow this. But when you're telling us a scientific fact, so to say, that the Malachim say, if you do this, it causes this type of a birth defect in the child, it causes this type of a malady to occur in the fetus, in the child that's born, because of Mida Kineged Mida, like Tosus explained, so then we would listen to them. So therefore, the opinion of a Maimer is that these Malachi Asharis were not Malachi Asharis, but were Talmidei Chachamim, and we don't paskin like them in this situation, Rav Yochanan says. No, so why do we call them Malachi Asharis? But my koraluhu Malachi Asharis, why do we refer to them as Malachim if they were in fact Rabbanim? Because the Mitzayini Kimalachi Asharis, because they were very Mitzuyan. Like we say, the Bnei Yisrael Mitzuyan Mitzrayim, they were very, very special people, and therefore they were like Malachi Asharis. Others have the Giras over here, the Mefarish, for example, as well as the Maritz Chias, they both bring down that Rashi had the Girsa of Mitzuyetzets over here in the Gemara elsewhere, and the Marsha says that Tzitzis are a geder against Giluy Arroyos. We have the famous story of one of the Rabbim that was going to, one of the Amorim was going to do an Aveira, and his taking off his Tzitzis, the Tzitzis reminded him, Chas v'shalom, can I do this Aveira? And he, of course, stopped immediately. Very famous story in the Gemara. In any event, that's why they were called Mitzuyonim. It was with Mitzuyotzim, that they were very, very special people. They were Otvim Bitzitzis. Okay, Gemara continues and says, Hayida soy lekamei de Rebbe. There once was a woman that came to the great Rebbe, Ruda Nasi, and Amrlo, and she said to Rebbe, my husband is not doing appropriate intimacy with me. Rebbe, she said, Arachti lo shulchan, I set the table for him. In other words, I was prepared to have regular relations with him. Va'fofo. And he had bia shalokidarko, the position was that he came into me from behind. And while she had agreed to it, she wanted to know, is this halachically allowed? So Amalos, so Rebbe told her, yes, biti. He told her, my daughter, Torah hiti rosech, that the Torah does permit this. Again, we translated before the different ways to understand this. The tables were turned shulchan v'hafacho. So some suggest that it just means that the husband is on the bottom and the wife is on the top, as opposed to the husband being on the top and the wife on the bottom. And others suggest that this is referring to just they're not face to face, but he's coming in the normal way, but coming in from behind the woman. Others suggest that it actually is biach shlo kedarka. It's rectal relations. In any event, we're not going to get into the halachos of that right now. But Rebbe told her, the Torah permits this. Biti Torah hiti rosech. He told him, my daughter, the Torah permits this. Vani moeselech. And therefore, you don't have anything to be concerned about. I can't do anything for you. You agreed to this relationship in this fashion, this time, and therefore, don't worry about it. It is halachically acceptable. Likewise, Hayi, the once was a woman, da soyle kamei de rab. Similar Shiloh, a woman came to Rav, and Amrlo, she said to a great Rav, Rebbe, she called him Rebbe, Arachti lo shulchan, I prepared to have relations with my husband in the, quote, normal fashion, Vafachal, and he did it in this different fashion. So Amar, so Rav told her again, Maishno min binisa, this is no different than, again, what we said before, V'chein dog, habami beset zayit, like the meat and like the fish, that a person is allowed to prepare it in any way that they want. Again, as long as both parties are willing, nobody's being coerced or forced to do something that they don't wish to do, so then, within the framework of these halachos, certain things are permitted. Again, this doesn't mean that everything is permitted, and there are Gedorim of Tznius, and there are different things that different people have customs to do or not to do, and that's well beyond the scope of our ability to discuss this in a public manner like this, in a general shir on a tape. And again, a person should have these discussions with the person that they consider their Rebbe, that they have to have these intimate discussions with as appropriate, and this is part of a Chassan Kala class, is ought to teach the Chassan and the Kala, and it's never too late for somebody to be called the Chassan and the Kala to ask these shilas to their Rebbe in an appropriate private fashion. Mark continues and says, the famous pasuk from Shema Avalosa Sur, Achareil Vachem Yachareinichem. So, from this pasuk, you shouldn't go and turn after your heart. So, Mikanama Rebbe, Rebbe said, Al Yishta Adam Mekozeh, Vitin Eina Bekos Acher. So, Rebbe said that this is a reference, amongst many other things that it's a reference to, that a person shouldn't go and have relations with his wife and think about another woman. And this, the Mefarshim explained, even if this other person is his wife. And Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Lo Nitzucha, the Chiddush Ovi of Rebbe is even, Lo Tzvit, Lo Nitzucha, El Adafilu Shtei Nasha. In those days, and even amongst certain groups of Sfaradim today, especially from the Eidos HaMizrach, who have Yibum or do allow a person to have more than one wife, it's only Ashkenazim, from the famous time of the Gzeira of Rabbeinu Gershom Me'or HaGa'ola. So 1,000 years ago, the Gzeira became prevalent, certainly amongst all Ashkenazi communities, that a person never has more than one wife at the same time. And even we won't do Yibum, we will do Chalitza, not to have two wives, but amongst the Eidos HaMizrach, and her Rav Avadi Yosef Zatzal, the great posek of the Sfaradim from the past generation, was insistent that there still is the permissibility amongst the Sfaradim to do Yibum and to, in fact, have more than one wife. In any event, the accepted opinion, certainly amongst the vast majority of Jews, even amongst many Sfaradim, is that we only have one wife. So therefore, in the time of Rav and Rebbe, where there was a potential to have more than one wife, albeit never was recommended, and it wasn't something that was probably very common, but nevertheless, even in that situation, when you have two wives, you shouldn't be thinking about the other wife when you're having relations with this wife. Gemara continues and tells us another pasuk. It says, "Uvarosi mikam hamordim v'aposhim bi." This is a pasuk from Yecheskel that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pick and choose from those people that rebel and do averus against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and punish them. So Rabbi Levi, Rabbi Levi says, Elu b'nei teisha midos. This is referring specifically to nine scenarios or nine situations which, if a person has relations with his wife at this time, it's going to lead to problems in the children. And there's a mnemonic over here. These nine midos, Elu b'nei teisha midos, are b'nei asnas Mishgach. This is the abbreviation. These nine letters, Al Samach Nun Sof Mem Shin Gimel Ayin and Ches, are the abbreviations of the first letter of each of these conditions. So what are these conditions? Where it says that if you in fact have these relationships, it's going to lead to trouble in your children. Your children, as the Ran says, are going to be these Mordim and Poshim be. And the Ran adds, Sheyesh Tzad Aveira B'Yitzirosim. There's something wrong in their formation, so to say. And therefore, they'll end up being more than Uposhim. So the first one is B'nei Ema. B'nei Ema are children that are born out of a fear. That is, the husband sort of forced his wife to have relations with him. She did agree to it. I'm not talking about a rape, Rahman al-Litzan, but he caused her out of fear to have relations with him. And this is improper. The wife and the husband should both want to have the relations. And if you have relations out of fear, so then that is something that will lead Rahman al-Islam to trouble in the children. The Ran explains further, he says this B'nai Ema is a Lashon of Yira. Shematil Ema Alishto, the husband has a fear put into his wife, Lizokikla, and she's scared not to have relations with him, Shaloki Ritzon, but she really doesn't want to have relations with him. He is a quid pro quo again, so he won't have children that are proper because he acted in an improper fashion. So he acted improperly, so he'll have children that will be more of them and act improperly as well. Now, included in this group is also B'nai Anusa. This is an actual case of rape. Now, this is not a separate category, otherwise there would be a total of 10 if you added it up. So B'nai Ema and B'nai Anusa are the same category. B'nai Ema is a little bit less of a problem because the woman just was coerced to have relations out of fear, and B'nai Anusa is actually a woman who was forced to have relations. That certainly is absolutely incorrect, and that will lead to having children that are mordim and poshim, besides the adera of forcing a woman to have relations with you when she doesn't wish to, even if she's your wife. And that's what the Ran says. This is griyat fei b'nei ima. This is much worse than just having the wife afraid of the husband and having relations because of fear. The b'nei ima lo havi anusa, because the bottom line is they weren't anusa mamish. The anusa my rabbi she onso legamri. Here she is totally forced to have relations against her will. Since these two are very similar, they're both having relations not because they wish to, so it's only counted as one, as I mentioned. If you count them up, they're actually a 10. If you count that these two as two separate ones, so they count as category number one. Category number two is b'nei su'a. If a woman is not loved by her husband, so if the husband has relations with her, so that's going to lead to bad children as well. And Ran says, Shesnua, umitoch kach no sing daito alisha cheres. He doesn't really love his wife. He doesn't want to divorce her at this point in time, because if he did, he wouldn't be allowed to have relations. That's another category. But he doesn't like his wife, so he's thinking of other women while he's having relations with his wife. And that's going to lead to bad children as well. Category number three is b'nei nidui. That's the girsa that we have. The Torah has the girsa b'nei nida, but the Marsha disagrees and says that that would be talking about children that were actually born from a real aveira and not just it's inappropriate. So the more correct girsa is the one that we have, which is b'nei nidui. And the Ran says, shebo aleh kishu menuda. He's in cherem, and he's not allowed to have relations with his wife while he's in cherem. Now, not everybody agrees with this. There are opinions that say that she is allowed to have relations when she is in nida. The Rashash brings down that this is actually a machlokas. So here we're asking that you're not allowed to have relations with your wife while you're in nidui. The Rush adds over here and says, this is true, imhu ohi minuta. This would the same thing apply. If she was in nidui, he does, we can have relations with her, basur matasha shemita. And then the Rush adds, vu adin nami ovel, if either one of them is avelus. However, he writes, Ela milsa de shricha nokan. It's more common that people be in excommunication of some sort, of nidui of some sort, than in avelus, which only is going to occur once or twice in a person's life with their parents. Okay, the next category is b'nei tumura. What does b'nei tumura mean? So the Ran brings down shebo alachas minosha v'chesover shehi tzarasa. He has two wives, and he thinks he's having relations with wife number one, and instead he has relations with wife number two. Next category is b'nei meriva. These are, Ran says, afupi she'ein osona. He doesn't hate this wife. Ella shoysa meriva b'neim lefisha. But they were not in a good mood at that moment in time. And nevertheless, they had relations. So again, he didn't force her, but their relationship wasn't one out of love. It was one out of maybe more base physical desires and not out of love. And therefore, that's going to lead to bad children as well. Next category is b'nei shichrus. The Ran says, shemitoch shichruso, out of drunkenness, in a nosin daito lishto. He's not really thinking of the other person. When the person's drunk, they're just thinking of fulfilling their base needs, and that's not the proper type of a way to have a relationship with a spouse. So therefore, if there's a relationship over here where the man is drunk when he's having relations with the wife, so that's inappropriate. It's going to lead to bad children as well. Next category is b'nei grusha salev. This means, as the Ran says, shagomar belibo legorsha, the man intended to go and divorce his wife. And in this situation, so he really shouldn't be living with her. But since he hasn't officially told her, she is not aware of that, and therefore the relations are technically allowed, but it's certainly something that's inappropriate and it's going to lead to bad children. Next category is b'nei irbuvya. The Ran explains, shebo leo kamo b'nei odam, rachmono l'tzan. If a woman had more than one man have relations with her, that's going to lead to terrible children as well. Now, obviously, this is talking about a situation where it wasn't be'isser. So an example of this would be, not that a woman had on the same night relations, but let's say she had relations with her husband either divorced or never the husband died, and then without waiting the period of time of Havchana, which we learned so much about in the Gemara in Yevamos, and as well in Kesubos, so that there's a 3-month waiting period of time before you're allowed to go and have relations with somebody else. And therefore, this Irvuvio is talking about where it was technically something that was mutter, she got married to the next man. It's not talking here about an aveira, but nevertheless, it's inappropriate and it's going to lead to bad children. They're not going to know who their father is. And finally, the last category that we have over here in our Gemara is b'nei chatsufa. And the Ran explains, shemeiza ponel lios tovato bepeh. The woman is brazen over here in the sense that she verbally goes and asks her husband to have relations with her. That's a lack of tznius. Again, as we'll see in the Gemara, and the Mepharshim will explain, a woman is allowed to be tovei her husband by using various signs and flirting and things like that, but to absolutely openly say, let's go and have relations, is considered a lack of tznius. It's a chutzpah dick type of an approach for the wife to the husband, and that will lead to, unfortunately, not having good children as well. Now, those are the 9, we really had mentioned 10, but we said b'nei ema and b'nei anusa are 1, so these are 9 categories. But look in the Hagos and Siyunim and Oz Gimel, so there is another category that's brought down from a brisa in this brisa that it also calls them b'nei yeshena, if a man has relations with his wife while she's sleeping. So obviously she didn't give permission, and that's not the right way to have relations. That's also in the lead, Rahman al-Islam, to have children that are mordim u'poshim. Now the Gemara questions this last category and says, really, the wife is not allowed to openly ask to have relations with her husband? Ini? Is that true? I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yonah's son. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani is the name of Rabbi Yonah's son. Call all them sheishto tovato. If a man has his wife who wants to have relations with him, so that's a great thing. Habilon bonim, he will have children. Shafilu bedor shel Moshe Rabbeinu lo yukmosim, he'll have children that will be greater than even the people that lived in the generation of Moshe, the great generation of the Dor HaMidbar, the Dor of Har Sinai, as the pasuk says, Shinemar, Hovu lechem anoshim chachamim unevonim, and that's what it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to take to be members of the Sanhedrin. But it says, Huekaches Rosh Shivteichem v'lokasiv nevonim. It says he took the leaders, but they weren't necessarily nevonim. So even in that generation, there weren't real nevonim, and yet it says, Uksiv Yisachar chamor gorim. Yisachar in the brachos that Yaakov gave to Yisachar. So Yisachar is referred to as a chamor gorim, which means that Leah was tovat Yaakov, and the resulting product of that tevia by Leah was Yisachar, which of course Yisachar is a novon. Uksiv mibnei Yisachar yode bino leitim. So how can you say that it's improper for the wife to be tovas the husband? We see that from Leah's actions that was actually a good thing. So why do you say in this brisa that it's a bad thing? So again, as I alluded to before, the Gemara gives the answer, Hai demiratzia artsuye. It all depends how. If you go and do it directly, verbalizing, saying, I want to have relations with you, so that's considered a lack of tznius and then proper. That's considered the woman is a b'nei chutzpah. Those children will be brought into this world through a act of chutzpah, chatzufa, b'nei chatzufa. However, if she intimates but doesn't directly state, but she certainly demonstrates that she would like to have relations with her husband, that is considered something that is absolutely correct and proper and will lead to having children like Yisachar, Mibnei Yisachar, Yodei Bin Ol Itim. Again, this last half of the shir is a very, very deep subject. We barely scratched the surface. Nobody should paskin anything from what I said, Halach Lamaisa. And these are the types of discussions that a person needs to have with their Rebbe, the Chassan with the teacher, the Chassan teacher, the Kala with the Kala teacher, and these shalas don't go away after you get married. They sometimes become even much more specific and detailed after you're married and you already have been intimate with your spouse, and therefore these are shalas that need to be asked in privacy and need to be asked from a person that you have a wonderful relationship with. Aseh l'chorav means a person should have a rav that they can go to and ask even such personal shalas. Before we conclude the shiur, I want to mention that one of the regular listeners to the shiur is getting up from his shiva this week. We want to welcome back Judah Langer, who Nebuch lost his father, Rabbi Yosef Langer, Olav Shalom, and the shiva is ending today, and we welcome him back to this year. With this, we conclude Hadron Alecha Ve'elu Mutarim, Hadron Alecha Ve'elu Mutarim, Hadron Alecha Ve'elu Mutarim. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we will begin the beautiful third perek of Maseches Nedarim. With this, we conclude today's shiur.